Hey, how are you? I didn't
It's
hear you
good.
click in.
Yeah,
You heard me
it's John
yawn.
here. I heard you yawn. I didn't think anybody was there. Mike is
That's
dialing in
funny.
as we speak, so he will be in shortly. Yeah, I think
There
that
you
sounds
are.
like him. You there, Mike?
I am now.
All right.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. I'm just trying to get organized. I had to run out for a little bit, and I have questions.
Yay! I
So,
love questions. That means you did homework.
you finally hit me with something that I reacted to when we did the, I watched the whole video yesterday. In addition to which, I've never read a book doing the last chapter first as I did with, Lair. But I read the ritual part of the book before I did anything else.
Good.
And but I'm just trying to find my folder because I'm disorganized. Because I'm disorganized. But this is here we go. So let me go through. I made notes through that whole. The organizational part resonated very loudly with me because I think that's part of what's been missing. And I went to Office Depot today. And I bought the folders with the clips on both sides. I understand. I got a better understanding of the folders, one for the client, one for me. So I, put a lot of time and effort into this one. Unfortunately, John was away for the week because he had a wedding up in New York. So, we went through accounts. We know what we want to move. But my first question is, I don't have anybody to give them to. And I just don't think they should be given away. They're not bad accounts. I'm not talking about little tiny ones. So what's your suggestion?
I can't solve that one for you.
Yeah. Well, I figured I'd
Yeah, there's usually there's a call center or there's other FAs in the office, or I've had situations where there was no one, literally no one.
Yeah.
And you're gonna balk at this, but I actually had them send them down the street to another firm.
Well, I'm thinking about the certain ones that I would send up. There's a financial advisor up in Stewart that is building a business that I thought maybe I'd send it up to him.
Yeah.
That's where I'm kind of caught in the middle of that one. We do have a call center, but I don't really some of these accounts I would rather have say, hey, I would like this person to handle these rather than just arbitrary. So, go from there. So that was one of the issues. No, I went through. I'm just looking at my notes from yesterday. I actually have 4 pages of notes, Rob.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I sat, closed the door. I sat and I watched the entire video for this week on organization. I got the five folders daily, so I got that, and I actually went out and bought some colored folders with the clips in them. And I bought a two-hole punch, so I'm really getting serious about this.
Good.
Info about team. So that was one of my questions. So the team right now is just John and me. And let me add in there that, I'm trying to explore the possibility of adding another team member. I had lunch with a young fellow who I think would be appropriate, but he is, timing is off. And he just went to Oppenheimer, and they're guaranteeing him 150 grand a year, which I couldn't possibly, possibly do. So, but it got me into that mode of saying, hey, this is a kid with a CFP. And we talked about the future, about what it might be, because he's in a situation there where he's looking and saying, I got a bunch of 80-year-olds in this office, and he's thinking maybe I would inherit some book, but I don't. I said, okay. But we spent a lot of time together. I think his knowledge and his desire is the right type of what I would be looking for in the future. It's just premature at this point in time. So, but I got it. The other thing, so we got through that. So how to deal with team info? We should just have something drafted for John and me at this point in time.
Yeah,
Marketing can put.
in terms of roles and responsibilities, or what are you looking
Or just
for?
like just a brochure to put in there, and
Oh yeah. Yeah, right.
okay,
And
just to have
the
so
other
that.
thing, Mike, you can do is this. You can if you have other people that you rely on, are
right.
consultants to you, that, you know, that you can include them in your picture to make
okay.
it appear as though the team is larger.
Yeah.
But it's in reality, it is your team. I mean, they are people that support you. And so
yeah.
that's okay. Sometimes when we have a sole proprietor, they feel like a team picture would look stupid, you know. And I said, well, include
right.
some others, you know, your mortgage specialist or your whatever, you know, your financial planning specialist, whoever you have that helps you on a regular basis, put
yeah.
them in the picture, you know, put them
okay.
in your brochure, put them,
I
you
can,
know,
I can
write them
that.
Up.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that was one of my questions as to how to deal with that. That answers that question. Give me 1 second. Just got to tell somebody I'm on a conference call. So the notes I get, meeting agenda is it's just what we're going to do that day when we hand them the folder and the meeting agenda. Investment ideas
yes.
we can do for that moment. My question
yes
is,
and no. Yeah, it's more than that. I mean, it
okay.
it's supposed it evolves out of the financial plan. Remember, the
okay.
supernova.
Right.
We ask that each person have a financial plan. That's
mm-hmm.
that's what we advertise. That it,
okay.
we offer multi-generational planning. Full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to your problems. 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. So that's our mantra. That's what we talk.
Got it.
What we say.
Okay.
So out of that financial plan comes a series of action steps. And some of those are going to be urgent. Some of those are going to be important but not urgent. And some of them are going to be moderately important. Not urgent. So you're going to have an opportunity to take care of the urgent first that goes on the agenda,
yeah.
But also I'd put on the important but not urgent items.
Okay.
So that reminds you to do an analysis of the debt. You know, we do asset management. We should be doing liability management as well. So,
right.
you know,
right, right.
we need to have a conversation about liability management. And but we're not going to have that today. That's, you know, we're going to have that in August or something.
Got it. So now, so that's my file, and that gives them their file as well. When we finish with the mini me file, which was kind of. Is it given
no.
to them and taken back, or is it given them and they take it home?
No. They own it.
They own it. Okay. So they get a new one each
it.
Meeting?
No.
Each in-person meeting. They get a new one each?
No.
Oh, they use their own. Okay, got it.
They got theirs. You have yours. You you file yours away or you keep them somewhere, and they keep theirs somewhere. They pull it out when. So what you're going to do is you're going to email them the agenda.
Got it.
Ask for their feedback and say, if there's something that you'd like to add to the agenda, please feel free to email that back to us and we'll add it to the agenda. That makes them feel really good that you're listening. And then they, you know, I encourage you to give them the two-hole punch because they're not going to have one.
Right.
And then they punch in the agenda and put it in the back next to where they're going to take notes. So just like you took notes on the video, they're going to take notes when you are on your phone call with them, or they're going to take notes all month on questions. You know, what do you think? How do you think Steven Mnuchin's interview went on CNBC today? Important.
I thought it was kind of silly. If you're asking me that one, I thought it was kind of silly at this point in time.
Well, and that's why by the time it gets to your phone call, what they write down generally is not going to ever come up. And that's why you have them write it down rather than call you. Okay? So.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, that's the, yeah. Okay,
so what
so that's
they
right
do,
here. No, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
so
go ahead.
they, this is a training exercise for your client.
Right.
So you're going to need to train them on how to do this, just like I'm training you. So don't think they will get it right away. They don't get it quite as quickly as you think. So you give, you know, you give them some yellow, you know, two old punch, some yellow,
right.
You know, some lined paper in the back and say, this is where you take notes. And these are
got
the
it.
Kind of things you can take notes on. When you watch something and you want to know what the impact of the trade negotiations are going to be on our portfolio, that's where you write it down. And that'll remind you to ask that question when we meet. And then they're not calling. See, the idea is to eliminate all phone calls.
Right.
In.
And
right?
When they're going to have a meeting to ask the questions.
And they're going to, you know, when they need more checks or they need this or they need that, that's the time. I mean, they're going to do one phone call versus four. So this makes John's life a lot better.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Does every meeting have to have an investment idea? Or
no,
just
no.
A review?
No, not even either.
Yeah, okay.
It's whatever the agenda is. You should be prepared. You
right.
should always be prepared with the number. You know, how did
right.
I do? They may not ask it. You may not want to tell them. It may not be important to them. They just had a baby. They want to talk about the baby. They're retiring. They want to talk about retiring, what it's going to mean to them. You know, they're getting a divorce. That's all they can think about. They're not going to be interested in, you know, so that's why it's so important to ask them before you get started on every call. By the way, before we get started, what's on your mind?
Got it. Like I do with you.
Exactly.
Okay. So I got the daily five folders, referrals with thank yous. Is that's just an accumulation along the way that each time we talk about thank you for sending me so-and-so.
That's a really good idea. You want to put in the folder a place for introductions given and received.
Right.
You want to put in there the date that you got the introduction and the date that they opened the account. And the reason that is because they may have gotten the introduction, but you never opened the account.
Right.
Okay. And the other reason you want the data that they opened the account is because then a year later, you're going to put it in your organizer. You're going to put it in your Outlook to call them a year from that date they opened the account and thank them for opening the account, thank them for their business and the confidence they've had in you. And then you call the person that introduced you on that day and thank them for the introduction, which should generate a potential another introduction. Because they've made two of their friends happy, you and their friend, the client.
Good. Okay.
So you're encouraging encouraging that behavior.
Okay.
That was kind of a, you know, Mike, we in the leadership position in the training business, every once in a while have a little breakthrough, you know, and to the world it's nothing, but to us it's like a miracle, right? And so
yeah,
this was a little this was a little breakthrough. I always had this page, but I never knew how to use it.
Right.
And this brings it to life and gives it a purpose. It's the best prospecting page you've got.
There's no doubt. I mean, I thought it was good when I saw it. So, next question. I hope you don't mind. I got a lot of good stuff out of that.
It's really good.
Because the first one I watched it sunk in. The inverted pyramid. I like that. And I think we've discussed that. That was in your book.
Yes.
And John, I don't think you saw that yet. The inverted pyramid puts the you at the top of the list. in terms of who's most important getting this thing going, because it feeds down. So comments, notes that I made was the FA should not schedule, because I don't think John looked at it yet, but FA should not schedule the appointment. That's for John to take care of. And spend time with best clients, I think that's a no-brainer. It's just the question is how much time, and must be prepared, as does the CSA. Does the CSA sit in on the meeting with the client?
No.
Okay.
But you can have John have a scheduled appointment with each client once a year.
Right. Yeah, and John sits right outside my door, so if I need him for something, he's right there.
But it can be an administrative. Let's say you're on vacation for theoretically a month, right? You're gone for a whole month. John could be doing all your calls that month, and they'd all be administrative calls.
Okay.
Okay. So
I think he'd kill me if I took a month, but that's beside the point. So
I understand. It's just but you'll be gone for. You'll be gone for meetings, and you'll have phone calls, and that's when he could do the administrative call. And you just tell him, the agenda, this is the agenda. It's a little different. It's going to be an administrative call. And, the purpose is to make you more comfortable with your statements, the use of the credit card, the use of this, the use of that, and so forth.
Okay. Next question is, schedule well in advance. How far is well in advance? For example, I get a haircut every month. I schedule my appointment for my next haircut as I'm walking out the door. Do you schedule it when they're going, when you finish the call?
Yes. The schedule should be always the same, so you don't have to do that. Like we have this call scheduled every week. I don't.
Right.
We do confirm it. But we don't have to reschedule it at a different time every week. That would be annoying.
Okay,
so you want to have the schedule the same, but then confirm a week in advance. And you confirm by sending out the agenda with a confirmation. You can use the Outlook scheduler, where it actually, puts it on both of your schedules. A lot of people use Outlook.
Right. My life is built on Outlook. So it's a question of setting up a separate, almost a separate Outlook calendar as I phase into clients while I'm still doing what I'm doing. So, and then as we said in the beginning, my objective is to make my management part 40% and the client 60%. As just to throw an interjection in there, so I got a referral the other day and we're talking, and I kind of knew what she had. But we're just nice lady. She's older, but it's about the daughter because the daughter's going to inherit all this money. She's 87, but the daughter lives in the house. And, I said to her, I just want to let you know that my normal minimum for accounts is $500,000. And she said, oh, okay, at least I made the cut. What she said to me. She was a pretty tuned in 87-year-old, but I'm getting better with telling the story and telling why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's just, I think the toughest part that I have, which I still get out of, the book and listening, is that it's just tough after all the years to relinquish the accounts, which I know you're aware of. It's just, it's like retraining yourself, which is what I loved about the ritual part of the Lair book today and yesterday that I listened to.
Good.
And I'm trying to think of how many other things I could change. We can talk about that afterwards. The next part on my list is building a pipeline. You say no more than 90 prospects and a folder for each prospect.
That's a real prospect. They're real prospects.
Yeah.
They're not suspects.
Okay. So this referral I would consider a real prospect.
That's right. And so that folder can become their regular folder. And in some cases,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
A folder for them now, even though they're not a client, and you may actually give them a folder. Because the next thing on that is the 90-day free look, if you remember from the new book.
Right.
The multiplier.
I just got that at home. It's on my kitchen counter. So as my wife is going to kill me, but So I printed out the critical contacts, the page one, the one for me and the one for the client, or they almost look identical. I printed it twice. So I'm going to use that to gather information when I meet the client and keep a folder for her as well. So I can.
That's right.
All right. So that's fine.
Yeah, you want to know all of their. We call that the enthusiastically endorsed list.
Right.
Critical advisors or valued advisors, and that's such a big help when dealing with family issues.
Yeah.
It's just really helpful for them and for you. Everybody's got a phone number and a person, and if they change, you change them and so forth. It's also a great prospecting list.
Right. Well, it's interesting because so in the office yesterday, one of my advisors who's a junior to the other larger producer who's in New York visiting clients, but they opened up an account yesterday. And the reason they got the referral is because her prior advisor said something stupid to her. I mean, called her up, told her he had a dream and, wanted to make sure her son was all right because he had a dream that her son had passed away.
Oh,
the
God.
The lady freaked out. Yeah, the lady freaked out. it's just unbelievable that somebody would even think of saying something like that to somebody. So, it's amazing what drives people out. People, brokers don't understand that what can drive a client out of an office. The lady I'm seeing Friday, she just didn't like, and it's almost as though they spoke to her as if she was, an incompetent 87-year-old. And if you spend enough time with this woman on the phone, she's not incompetent at all.
Right.
I said, well, why don't you let me come visit you, and then the next time you'll come up to my office. And she was happy with that. That's the way I sensed that the conversation was going, that she would like to see me at her house. So I said, okay, it's no big deal.
Sure.
And it's she's got, it's between her and her daughter, I think it's $1.5 million. So that's
great.
The other one, I took notes on centers of influence. You had asked me last week how I get my clients, and it's just relationships. It's just constantly being there. I think that will continue as I tell people how I'm going to handle my business going forward. It may make them a little bit more willing to go there. But I like the part on centers of influence. The enthusiastic endorsement resonated with me in the last week, but it resonated in the call yesterday because, it's the likes, who it is, the trust, and send business without asking. That's the part that kind of hit me yesterday, which I get.
Right.
People do that, but not as often as I'd like it. I like the professional COIs having. You bring them to the office with their staff?
Yeah.
As well as going to their office with John so they can meet it?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going, just think about it. If you're going to go in business with them and form a real partnership with them.
Right, right.
What would you do?
Yeah. No, I get it. That's not something I thought about before. I would go meet them and meet their staff, but, drag John with me would be another thing. So, but I'm looking at this, the folder on the CUI, again, COI makes a lot of sense, with the enthusiastically endorse, meet and suggest relationship, meet team, visit their business, establish enthusiastic endorsements with them, have a meeting with the folder, and then bring them back to your office. I think that's what goes into their folder, just information about us?
Yes, similar stuff. So it looked just like yours.
Okay.
And of course, the section on given introductions given and received.
Right, right, right. Sure.
With the two dates.
Right.
So they can keep track of it, too. They're going to be blown away by how organized you are.
I'm going to be blown away by how organized I am.
I know. I did, and I did all the work for you. Just think about that.
I get it, Rob. I'm going to stroke your ego anytime I can. what I found interesting, though, is that, I listened to, I told you I like to listen to my books. So I've listened and read in the last 2 days, 2.5 days, about that chapter on rituals.
Yeah.
It's really amazing when you think about it. You sit there and say, well, I do that, but I don't do this. When you read about here's the irony. So I finished listening on that chapter, and yesterday, because I still reluctantly get the New York Post every day, but they have a section called Health and Fitness, and it's titled, bold, Swole in One, meaning they're talking about, do you play golf at all?
Yeah.
Okay, so this article is all about, it starts off talking about Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson and comparing them to John Daly. And they talk about that, this will tell you exactly where, in the past, and I just happened to have seen this article yesterday, and I didn't read it until today. I was sitting and just having some lunch, and it says, without disrespecting it here, for generations, professional golfers have looked about as fit as local barfly. The legendary John Daly, for instance, was known for his pot belly, penchant for Marlboro Reds, and as he is for his swing. Without disrespecting anybody, it was about the guy with the big 44-inch belly and that had a concave chest with no muscle. And they talk about this trainer who now focuses on, and he talks about the fact that Tiger Woods was the initiator of being that good in that good a shape. But he's talking about a Jupiter, Florida-based strength coach. And then they go into the rituals. What do they do? How often do they work out? What do they eat? So it's the same thing as when they were talking about Yvonne Lendl and Tiger Woods in that chapter on the rituals, which I think is fascinating to see how disciplined somebody can become.
Well, that's what it takes to be top of your game.
Yeah.
And so, that's what Jim Lehrer calls it, he likened the whole approach of athletes to corporate athletes and said that you're really going to be at the top of your game as a corporate athlete. You're going to have to take it as seriously as a professional athlete.
Right.
And that changes the game in terms of what we're really expecting from ourselves and the level of performance that we're demanding. I've always said, we never have a season off. There's no off season for financial advisors. There's no downtime. It's a marathon built with a bunch of sprints in it. Every day is a sprint and it's one long marathon. So it's not an easy business, and we act as if somehow we're physically and mentally able to handle it. And you watch how people fall apart when stress hits the industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty, it's epidemic when you get a major downturn. People completely come apart because they're not mentally and physically tough. So
it takes a lot to get through that. Even December, people would say to me, you must be getting tons. People that don't really know the business and don't really know me well enough said, you must be getting tons of calls. I said, my clients don't call me because they know what I'm going to say. We touch base. They know that they have to stay the course and they're not getting out. And we get into discussions, and I tell people about, 2008, 2007 and 8 was different than anything I've seen in my 40 years. It was the perfect storm. Every asset class went bad, but you had to hang in there. So, the discipline from that aspect is there. This is now adding an entirely new dimension to the discipline. Riding my Peloton is a whole new discipline. And it's funny that you say that because yesterday I did a 30-minute ride that's got what they call spin-ups. So that's that acceleration that you're talking about where you have to get, into a different mode. I think this is going to force me to get back to Weight Watchers and do that on a regular basis, because everything that I do successfully has a discipline to it, or a ritual, so to speak.
Right. I mean, I used to. Well, anyway, it's an important. It's important. You want to get satisfaction out of every aspect and every time of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the problem that you will face is that when clients retire, quote, they basically relinquish this whole concept of being a corporate athlete. They give up. They say,
yep,
now's the time to just enjoy myself. Well, yes and no. In order to do that, you need your health. And that's the one thing that they've been sacrificing all the way along in many cases. And now, you know, at age 65, they're going to try and get their health back.
Right.
And some of them can't do it because they've already mm-hmm. got diabetes and heart disease.
Sure.
And so you, as a coach, as their mentor, as their advisor, need to teach them that all along that this model is really important. Proper amount of sleep, exercise, and diet isn't just for 30-year-olds. And it's not just for 65-year-olds. It's for everyone at every stage of their life. And that they should be goal setting every time, everywhere. And you can be a huge help to retirees to do some goal setting with them.
Right.
Because their life will be so much better if they do it.
It's funny, I find, and you live, you know, you live obviously in a retirement area as well, on anything on the east and west coast of Florida. You see the major difference between people that stay active and people that don't. You know, it's I think I told you my biggest client is a 78-year-old guy who still, I mean, with his daughter, but he still runs his business. You know, it's a medical building, real mm-hmm. estate operation. And I only have some. I mean, I have $12 million, and it's a matter of he stays busy. He works every day, plays golf, you know, however many times he can. He flies up and back to Philadelphia to go to his office periodically, but he's impressive, and he's really pretty impressive from that standpoint.
Yep. Yep. It's a wonderful thing.
Yep.
I mean, whether or not you're, you know, leading the, you know, president of the, of, you know, pick your favorite charity, or you're engaged in the arts, or you're whatever it is that you're doing as a retiree, quote, it should be something that you're really committed to.
Yeah.
The idea of just quitting everything and just enjoying yourself ends up being a black hole of depression and awfulness. It's sad, and you got to really watch
yeah.
out that your people don't go down that path, because it seems like that's the fun thing to do. But in fact, they didn't get to where they are today successfully by stepping out of life. You know, you got to
yeah.
stay involved. You got to stay, as my dad said, you got to stay busy, Rob. You got to stay busy.
I agree with him as 100%. You know, just, you know, it's important.
Right.
You know, I see some of these guys turning to, excuse me, what I refer to as whining vegetables.
Well, yeah. It's,
they have nothing to do but
right.
complain.
And they, yes. And they're not spending time with young people. They're not helping. They're not coaching. They're not supporting. They're not doing anything.
We have some brokers right. like that in the office, too.
Well, you do. Of course you do. And, you know, they need to volunteer at the, you know, help out the local baseball team and, you know, get involved with kids and stay young. You can't just become a vegetable. Terrible. So, yeah, that's a big issue with in Florida here. A lot of wasted talent. What other questions on on the lesson today?
That was pretty much it. I got, you know, you answered, you know, it ended up with the homework assignment being the next 20% and trying, you know, again, my biggest frustration, which I'm sure that I'm not alone, is the segmentation for clients that have been with me for a long time, but I understand it. I just have to get better at it. And I'm not as good as I need to be.
You'll get better as you see the advantages of being organized and the leverage that time gives you. You need time to do all the acquisition strategies, and if you have that time, you will do it better. Your business will grow. And the trade-off is that you're going to have to give up some very unimportant, unproductive small accounts. And when there's no other trade-off, you're going to keep those. But when you see that the trade-off is bringing in another $12 million client, then you say, wow, I better have time for that.
Yes. I fully understand it. You know, the mental aspect of it is one thing. It's the, you know, the actual doing of the situation that, you know, you get comfortable. You got to get comfortable with where it stands. I mean, it's,
right.
You know, I'm looking down. Again, I go through this every time we're on the phone, and I'm looking down at my, you know, my households, my individual accounts, and I get down to, you know, 500, even at 300. You know, I'm looking at some of the people, but I got to go into the household report because, you know, here's a woman that's got. This is interesting because John and I were just talking about it. So I have a client, Sandra, who between her regular account and her IRA is about $700,000.
Mm-hmm.
But her brother is with me, and her brother has a smaller account, and she just likes me to be able to watch that account because he inherited money and he spends like a drunken sailor. You know, not an extravagant lifestyle. He just keeps taking money out. And John watches that account on a regular basis, you know. So it's part of the household, but sometimes it takes up time. You know, you don't want to see that. But, you know, we're trying. We're trying to put them all together and look at the household and say, hey, I really don't need this one. You know, then I got another a woman who was a former tennis player who's probably got $700,000, and she doesn't bother us at all. You know, she'll come in every time I want to see her.
Was she professional?
She was professional. Yeah, she used to play in the days of Yvonne Goolagan. And
I know her.
Her name was Astrid Serbeek. She was Dutch. She was from Holland.
Yeah.
So.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah.
You know, I was a tennis player, and it'll.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, we did hosted the Virginia Slims. Do you remember those?
I do.
The Virginia, yeah, and we did it in Cohasset. So ask her if she played it, if she ever went and played in the Cohasset, Massachusetts. I think it was in Hingham or Cohasset. We did the indoor Virginia Slims Championship there. And so we hosted
How long ago was that?
That would have been when we were about, that would have been, I graduated in 68. So that would have been, was I still in high school? That would have been like in 1967, 68.
Yeah, no, that's definitely her time. She's 72. So yeah,
she's my age. Yeah,
we're about a year or two apart at this point in time. So, I didn't remember her, but I remember everybody she played against.
We actually hosted some of the women at our house, you know.
Right.
In those days, they stayed in homes because they couldn't afford to, you know, tell her I said hello anyway. It was a fun time. We took her out on a Took them out on a beautiful sailboat in Cohasset Harbor. It was gorgeous.
Nice.
About a 50-footer. They loved it. They loved it. So, yeah, I was involved. I played tennis my whole life. Played, you know, high school and college. And now I'm a big supporter of Wake Forest. I went to Wake Forest tennis.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
keep an eye on them. I think they're going to win the national championship. They won it last year too. So they're pretty impressive group.
Yeah,
so it's fun. Anyway, all
well,
right.
What's next? What are we talking about? So let me get one more thing.
Make sure you've gotten the scheduler from Cindy and you understand how to use it.
Gotcha. Will do.
Because when Mike was saying he's got to have a completely different outlook calendar and all that stuff, don't try and do this yourself. We've done it for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah, we got that 2 weeks ago. I saw that. So we got.
Yeah, I have it. I have it in my email here.
All right.
Yeah, we coordinate. You then coordinate that. It automatically coordinates with Outlook. Okay, I think you have to do it every. You have to drop them in once, and then you kind of. I think you have to refresh it every month. But Cindy will teach you how to do that.
Okay.
It just saves you enormous amounts of time because it automatically populates the whole year.
All right. I'm seeing if I have any questions on the forms that go inside the folders, but I don't. It really does. It's very thorough. Covers everything, gives you all the questions to ask. Introduction. I love the page with the introductions given and received and planning for a time. Okay. It covers everything. It's probably better than – it's more thorough than any profiling sheet that I have used periodically.
Well, good. I'm glad because we've been working on it for 12 years.
Well, you think you finally got it right.
It's annoying when I find an error in it. But I'm happy. I want to find it. You know, it's like you should see my workbook. I've redone this workbook probably 10 times, but
right.
I haven't done it recently, so I've got it all marked up for the next time. So I got to read my chicken scratching to make sure that I, like on chapter 5, the one we're on,
right.
I've got a synopsis, but I don't have, you'll see in every other chapter, there's what's included, right?
Right, right.
Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, in this chapter, we didn't do that. We did a synopsis, but we didn't put what's included. So I wrote it out, and the next time Cindy and I redo the workbook, this will be corrected. But you just don't – sometimes you don't see things. I'm having my new – the Supernova Multiplier, I'm having it put on audio. So I'm having a Scott Hoke, who's a professional newscaster from
right.
Indianapolis, a friend of ours. He's recording it. And Cindy said – that he's going to spend about 5 hours editing it. And I kept wanting to ask her the question, what the hell is he editing? I've already edited the book 15 times. What's he editing, you know? But according
right.
to her, he's going to edit it again. I don't know. Maybe it's for, you know, what you're going to say versus what you are going, what is written. Maybe he says it slightly different or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I like it on audio. I mean, I have the book, and I, you know, as I said, I just got it the other day, and yeah. And by the way, when I got the Lair book,
yeah.
I already had two copies. I already had two copies and didn't even realize it.
Of course,
so
we all
one
get
the meeting and
tons
I ordered,
of copies.
Yeah, I ordered one. Yeah.
Yeah, we got them in our library, and we forget we have them, right?
Yeah.
I know. All right. Well, you're being a very conscientious. Learner, which I like, an eager learner, as you know, as a coach, as the leader that you have been, when you get an eager learner, it's fun. So keep doing it. Watch the video, take notes. John, watch the video, take notes. This is as much you as it is Mike, so have fun with it, okay?
Sounds like a plan.
Good. All right, guys, thanks. Good job.
All right.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Talk next week.
All right. Take care. Bye.